G'day, g'day, g'day. It's the podcast of WBC in the great city of Wyndham. And this is The Elaborators. We are here today to elaborate on a whole lot of things, including how to change the world. I've got producer Simon with me. Hey, Sim.
Hey, how are we?
So apparently, do you know how to change the world?
No, there's lots of books on it, though.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of podcasts too.
I'm excited about it. Are you the kind of person that has always wanted to change the world?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I like.
I was going to say you just want to manipulate it slightly to mold your worldview.
No, you know, I like just playing a part in other people's worlds. How about that? I don't want to change the whole world.
All I'm hearing there is puppet master. That's all I'm hearing there.
Part of the secret is not to let anyone know that.
Yeah, nobody ever finds out that that's what's going on. We've been talking about all sorts of things on the podcast, including last week we spoke about lyrics and words that are powerful and lyrics that moved you. Now, here's what I discovered. I got to the end of that recording and we'd spoken to our guest Jared Hashik, an orchestrator and a writer and all that sort of stuff, and he'd spoken about, go back and have a listen to that one because he spoke about hearing the Hillsong Desert song for the first time and a few things like that. And what I realized was at the start of the ep, Simon, producer Simon, I set you up and said, what's the song, what's a lyric, what's something that's, you know, profoundly moved you, you know, other than obviously Happy Birthday, which is one of the most powerful songs in your life.
Yeah, and I think you used the example of Mickey Mickey Also Fine as well.
I love that you even messed that lyric up. Mickey,
what did I say? Mickey, Mickey, Also Fine. Oh, Mickey, You're So Fine. Mickey Mouse. That's a Mickey Mouse song, isn't it? No. I'm joking. I know that.
So what I realized I didn't do was come back to you after the conversation, and we are asking our audience too, what's your favorite? You can still send us yours. We'd love to feature it.
Yep.
Did you actually come up with one?
You know what? I was thinking back on that, and certainly a song that had really strong lyrics for me at an impactful time in my youth was "Save Your King."
Oh.
The Hillsong one.
But,
You know, and the tune's gone from my head.
Our Savior King, yeah. We are you, Lord, we worship you. You are our God.
Something like that. Which is, anyway, so that one was probably what came to mind, and that was in my late youth into becoming the youth leader with the group of youth leader
right
patch.
Yeah,
that had a good impact on me,
and it has that impact because it's a lyric that sticks with you and reminds you of you know, it gives you a theological standpoint as well of who God is, who Christ was. And, so songs like that are really, really important in faith life and the journey. So well done. Yes. You get an applause from our rowdy crowd.
Yeah, point but for me.
I don't know if I have – do you want an air horn?
No, I'll put a ding in afterwards for myself.
Well, I can just put –
oh, that'll do.
That'll do. One like that.
Yep.
Anyway, we're here with producer Simon. This is episode whatever it is of The Elaborators. Thank you to everyone that's been tuning in consistently and being a part of this conversation. We want to talk about changing our world. We want to talk about faith in action. We want to talk about all of the good things that make us useful people in the community. But it turns out that Simon and I think you're good at it.
Thanks. But what was that? Something about pride this week? You were preaching on pride and being proud? I'll take it humbly.
Yeah. You need to take that humbly.
Yep.
You know, I got a badge. I won first place for being humble, but I couldn't show anyone the badge. Yeah.
Sounds right.
So we wanted to introduce someone who's a friend of mine and now a friend of yours, friend of the podcast. He lives in the wonderful country. I don't know if you've heard of this country, Western Australia.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a whole different country, right?
A whole different country. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Captain Pete Brookshaw.
How you doing? Thanks
good, mate. For having us. The rowdy crowd is. I mean, we've got hundreds of people in the studio here excited to see you.
Great. I was just thinking about living in Perth. I was just thinking we're 2 hours and 20 years behind in Perth, so it's good to be here, you know.
So by way of introduction, we better introduce you. You and your wife, Jo, are Salvation Army captains at Morley Salvos, which is in the northeastern suburbs of Perth. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us a bit of a picture of the social makeup of that area.
Lower socioeconomic area, sort of outer suburbia, and in a multi-generational church. We've got some youth leaders out in schools, in high schools, and kids workers and seniors and, you know, everyone in between. So we're leading a church that's, you know, a pretty impactful church for how big we are. We're not a huge church, but we've got quite a few staff out and about doing ministry. And I just love the challenges of leading a multi-generational church.
We've been talking about faith in action. We've been talking about humility in our faith in action and all those kinds of things. How long have you and Joe been captains in the Salvos?
Yeah, so we've been Salvation Army officers, ministers for nearly 15 years.
Wow. I didn't know you were that old.
Yeah, no, 41 now. Still don't know what I'm doing and just loving it.
I thought you were 23. I could have sworn. You look gorgeous.
Definitely. Well, don't need to struggle with pride because I still don't know what I'm doing, so it's good. there's nothing to be proud about.
That's very humble.
That's very humble.
Yeah. I've been a minister long enough now that I can't say, oh, sorry, I didn't realise that wasn't meant to be done. So I kind of passed those days.
Yeah. You can't plead ignorance. There's a point in every person's profession where they can no longer plead ignorance.
So I was sort of past that stage, but we're enjoying the ministry. There's a few challenges, but we're loving serving Jesus.
So where were you prior to Morley?
So we've grown up around Wyndham, city of Wyndham. Mm. We grew up in the Salvation Army there. Well, we grew up in a house, but we went to worship in a church.
Such a pastor's kid.
We went into ministry there out of the city of Wyndham, lived in Hoppers Crossing near Werribee Plaza, or Pacific Werribee, whatever it's called now, at Westfield. I don't know what it is.
I think we just call it the Plaza.
Yeah, the Plaza, the old Plaza. I can remember when there was Franklin's and McEwen's.
Franklin's. Was Franklin's an old supermarket? What's Franklin's?
I don't remember those. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I'll move on.
I think he's lying to us about being 41 at this point. I think he's 65.
not 51, but no. So we went into ministry out of the city of Wyndham. So we've always kind of lived in that kind of outer suburbia, being in the west, not in the east of Melbourne, you know, just the different kind of economic situation. And so that's kind of been the place we've always been.
So you're a man of many words, and I mean that in the kindest way. You're a writer, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're a communicator. You've got two books that you've written, one called Holy and one called Jesus Christ, and you've got another book coming out soon called If You Want to Change the World, which is, I was asking Simon if he knew how to do it, but as long as you know how to do it.
Well, now I can just read the book.
You can just read the book, yeah. We're excited about that. What is it about the written word that you think is so, what is it about the process of taking your ministry thoughts and your desire to build healthy community and putting it into a book?
Yeah, I think there's putting things into words, you know, you're taking lots of different ideas, aren't you? And you're boiling them down into, you know, a cohesive whole that's kind of understandable. And what I say in this book, which will get released later in the year, but is around actually what Jesus did when he took all of the laws of the Old Testament. They said, what's the greatest, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus was, you know, really challenged by that. And he boiled it down to a couple of lines of text, you know. He boiled it down to Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19, verse 18. So he nailed down all of these different ideas and all of these laws that the Jewish people had in those days, and he nailed it down to a couple of sentences. And that's the power of words, right? And Jesus was able to take lots of different ideas and then boil it down to, I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Yeah. And so if anyone knew about communication, it was Jesus, you know, who took lots of big ideas and boiled it down and gave us, you know, some of the best one-liners probably the world has ever seen, you know. And so that's the power of words, isn't it, to be able to take lots of different thoughts, lots of different ideas, and boil it down to something that is inspirational, you know, for those who are listening.
Some of the other ones that you've pointed out in this book is one of my favorites is the leadership principle, come follow me.
Which is just
one of the most confronting ones, because as a leader, you're essentially saying, come follow me. And really, your books seem to be about, especially with the first two, seem to be about the who are you following part of the journey. Tell us about the book Holy, what was that about for you? Was that an internal process for you?
Yeah, it was probably an opportunity for me to collaborate with another Salvation Army officer and just think through some of our theology, some of what we understand. What does it mean to be a person of holiness? Mm. You know, without holiness, it's impossible to see the Lord. But what is holiness? Holiness is not some super saint, you know, who wears their sweater on a Sunday and sings all the right tunes and you know, is some person out there that's kind of untouchable, you know, and we all know the super saints, you know, and we can think of people that we maybe compare ourselves to. But holiness is Jesus living in us, the Spirit of God, you know, inside of us. And so we were just kind of wrestling through some of our theology. And I think it was probably those first couple of books were probably more theological pieces for the Salvation Army and some of our other ministers and things to read and to wrestle with those ideas. And Jesus Christ was around, you know, who is Jesus? And he's not just fully God, he's fully man as well. And, you know, all of these kind of deep thoughts, which I really don't have all the answers to, but we were just wrestling through some of that. But this next book, If You Want to Change the World, I hope has a bit of a broader broader reach outside of our Salvation Army circles to really just challenge us to say, actually, we've got to make a difference in the world. The world needs Jesus, you know, and there's so many things that can cause us to sit on the couch, to kind of give up, to just, you know, get to a point where we feel like we can't make a difference. But if we want to change the world, we've got to get off the couch. We've got to get up and you know, do something in the world.
You've got to actually do something. And we've been talking about that a bit, and I'll come back to what it is that you actually do, your hands-on work that you guys do. But the power of words, the power of taking big thoughts and synthesizing them down into simple bite-sized chunks, and you point out a number of the ones that Jesus taught us, come follow me, and Peter, do you love me, and seek first the kingdom of God, and I am the light of the world, and I'm the, you know, just these incredible things that are actually massive theological statements, but in sentence. I did ask our producer Simon earlier about a song that's impacted him. I think I gave you a heads up on this, but have you thought of one that you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few months ago I had a newborn child. I still have a newborn child, actually.
I'd just taken a sip of coffee when you said that. It almost went all over the mic.
Child number four, and Justin, you know what it's like to have big family dynamics. And so we're a family of six, and my wife and I have four kids. Anyway, we had a newborn child named Micah, and a few months old now, but he was rushed to the ICU when he was first born, and so struggling breathing. Turns out he has a cleft palate, and some of you listeners might know what that is around the top of your mouth is kind of missing, so you can't breastfeed like you would normally because you can't just get that sucking motion going. And and they're worried about his tongue falling back in his mouth and all these sort of complications. He's rushed off to ICU or NICU, as we call it, natal ICU. And driving back and forth in the van, in the car every day, to the hospital, I was putting on this song, and it was just a chorus, really. It was really simple, and it was just a word in season for me, and I'll give it to you. It was, you are worthy of it all, you are worthy of it all, for from you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory. And that was just on repeat. And it was just that same line, you know, you deserve the glory, you're worthy of it all. And for me, it was, you know, tears in my eyes, driving back and forth to Perth Children's Hospital, going, God, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things and to you are all things, you deserve the glory. I can't understand what's going on for me right now in this situation, can't understand why this is happening. I don't know how I'm even going to get through it. But it was just on my Spotify, and there's a beautiful function there that says repeat. Yeah. And I just click it and, you know, just simple chorus, you know. And sometimes for me in some of my journey this year, through the complexities of ministry and the challenges with family in those areas, some of those one-liners, some of those verses like I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, You know, I'm all for theological depth and understanding, but, you know, sometimes for me it's just been I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can get through this. And so that's kind of been my story the last few months, I think.
And it's definitely one that will form your ministry going forward, won't it? It's such a strong reminder of the simplicity and the beauty that is represented in great depth that comes out in simple lyrics.
And this is the thing, right? It's simplicity on the far side of complexity, right? Yeah. And it's Jesus doesn't create things that are simple or simplistic. He simplifies things. They're not simplistic, as in they're not watered down ideas. Like, no one would say Jesus is the light of the world is a watered down concept. It's not. He's just found a way to make it simple for us to understand, not simplistic. And so I just hold on to some of those words that I think actually have real theological depth that help our faith, you know, but they're not. They're not simplistic ideas. They're simple. They're nutted down to the very core of truth. You know,
I think what you said there on the far side of complexity. There's a complexity. You know, the universe is a complex place, but we just see one sun. You know, that kind of helps us.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the idea that it's something as complex as managing a family in that situation, and many, many families have been in this situation where one parent or, you know, is trying to look after the kids while the other one's in hospital or whatever the situation is. And there you're also worried about a new life, and you're worried about all of the journey that's led to that new life and everything else. Yeah. And you're just driving, listening to this. If you were just to put those words in front of us, just you deserve the glory, you know, it doesn't look like much on paper.
Yeah.
But what it spoke to you is where the depth came into it, and it met you in that season. And so I guess that's what we pray for all of our communications, isn't it? Your sermons that might mean something eventually for the person that heard them or whatever in the moment. So you've done lots of actioning of your faith. And I mean, if the Salves are famous for anything, it's for faith in action stuff, which again, we can get to the complexity later on, because there is some complexity behind what people see. But what do you think are the most impacting things that you've got 15 years of ministry experience now? You've done it in a few different areas of Australia. What do you think are the most impacting things, the most useful things that maybe even we could pick up and apply to our own day-to-day?
I think, you know, you can have an idea for a ministry. You can have an idea for something new that you want to start and do, but you've got to have the courage to at some point step into it. I remember at one point in a church we're pastoring in Craigieburn in Victoria, just near the airport, you know, and we were talking about a food van. We were talking about this idea that God had given us about a food van out on the streets, feed them, you know, the hungry, those who are struggling to make ends meet. Let's get a food van out on the streets. And, oh, wait a minute, how are we going to pay for this, you know? And we began to just pray and think about that. And, you know, it wasn't until nothing happened, but it wasn't until we stepped down and started to look for food vans on, you know, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, or right. Google.
It wasn't until we literally stepped out that then things began to happen, as in God began to open up doors, other avenues where we would get this food van. Long story short, an older lady helping at our community lunch was helping a homeless guy, just giving him some extra food every week. Mm. He was in between jobs. He got a job at a caravan place.
Yeah.
And this homeless guy, well, unemployed guy, you know, living rough and stuff, he got this job at this caravan place, shared this story, this vision of the Salves want a food van.
Yeah.
And the caravan guy said, oh, we'll build one for you.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so this all happened at the same time that we began to step out and just put our toe out in the water. You know, it's kind of like that Joshua into the promised land.
Yeah.
You got to step into the river. So I think there's one thing to have an idea, but it's another thing to then be courageous enough to step through and, you know, step out and give it a try.
Just start.
To just start. And then obviously you've got the challenge of taking people along on the journey with you. And like that. So there's complexity, isn't there?
I always like the idea that a leader, the old Hybelism of leaders take people from here to there. That's what leadership is. You just take them from one spot to the next spot, even though you don't know exactly where there will be.
Well, that's right. And normally leaders who, you know, people are just getting used to the fact that they're heading there and the leader's now thinking about the next thing after the bed, you know. And so I'm always in this state of, I never feel like I've ever arrived as a leader because there's a little bit of an apostolic thing in my life around. I want to, you know, try some new things. And so when we're beginning to head into that thing that was on my heart years ago, I've now moved on to the next thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to do that.
But that's probably where that next challenge of rest comes into it, yeah?
Absolutely. And it's got to be spirit-led kind of ideas. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just busy, right?
Well, that might be the next part of the conversation is you're saying, you know, to change the word, honestly, first of all, it's having the courage to take the step. We'll just take it back a step. How do you discern whether it is a good idea in the first place? How did you go about that?
I think discernment happens in community. I think there's, you know, trusted people around you when you're just sensing it. But it is difficult. I mean, we're at the moment now locally where we're looking at we're establishing a cafe, a front-facing cafe. We want it to be profitable enough that we employ a few people and have a front-facing connection to the community. But at the moment, we're trying to discern who the cafe manager is going to be. Who are we going to employ?
Yeah, right.
And do you, philosophical question at the moment is, do you employ someone with high capacity with not a lot of faith or not a deep understanding of who we are as a movement? Or do you employ the Christian who's passionate about their faith with little capacity? You know?
But it's never run a cafe in their life, yeah.
So, and that's discernment, right? And I don't know if I've got the answers to that other than you stop, you maybe don't make a decision straight away.
Yeah.
You pray on it, you wait till you've got rid of that, you know, the discontentedness in your heart, in your spirit, and you wait till you get to a point. But there is a sense of God doesn't shout at you, God just whispers. Yeah. And I've found it difficult over the years, I think. God, just tell me the answer, please. You know, come on. But he'll whisper. God will whisper, and you've got to kind of grab a hold of that whisper, and then again, the next step, be courageous enough to step into it, you know.
Tell me about what you've learned about patience.
Lord, give it to me now, sort of thing. I think.
If God procrastinates on anything, it's giving you patience.
And look, I think we can run ahead of God. The entrepreneurs of the world can run ahead of God, can't they? You know, there are others who just need to get up and do something. You know, they need to move forward. God's like calling, come on, come on. But I think for me with patience, I can't run ahead of God, you know. I think of a story of a guy who was unemployed. Again, I keep coming back to unemployment, but he was in between jobs. He just lost his job, got a payout. So he had some money to sort of tie him over for a few months before he found another job. And he couldn't find a job. He was praying. We were all praying for him. You know, God, help him, help him, help him. You know, and if I had my way, I would have given him a job straight away, you know, back into it. Anyway, it was getting right to the end of where his payments kind of were going to run out, and he found a job right at the end of that, you know, kind of season, and he found a job that was closer to home and paid more than what he had previously. And the timing of it was just God's timing, just perfect timing, whereas us, you know, I would have said, oh, come on, Lord, you know, give me a job
tomorrow.
But I think in the process of waiting, in the process of trusting, there's something that God does in that season. You know?
Man. Look, and I know you're a man of much integrity that's done a lot of waiting and a lot of patience. Tell us about some dreams that have actually come true for you and for Joe and for the kids as you've learnt to, you know, be patient and wait and want to change everybody's lives for the better all at once. Along the way, God often gives us enough good stories to fuel us for the next one, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. I think even locally here at Morley, there's been a vision within the church of building projects around cafes, around, you know, greater connection in the community, and we're just beginning to see that being fulfilled. So we literally got builders on site and, you know, I'm glad we weren't doing the call yesterday because there was hammers going and jackhammers and, you know, would have made for an interesting Zoom call. But, you know, and you begin to see a vision that people had been praying about for years, and then all of a sudden you start to see it come to fruition. And You know, I love those moments, the food van or the new op shop that starts bringing in heaps of money. You can employ new youth workers. And there's a few stories over the years.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's percolating visions around the nations and, you know, impact in the world. And you just hold on to them and you just say, Lord, I'm here at the moment in the northeastern suburbs and going to just serve faithfully. And you know, he or she that's faithful in the little be faithful, you know, given much. And so we just keep serving and trusting.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, you have our admiration and our friendship, just on a personal note, has been really important to me over the years, because we've shared a few of the some of the saddest stories too over the years. And I say that with one of those ironic kind of laughs. Listen, man, what we might do is in a couple of months' time, we might have to get you back on the podcast and we'll do a follow up and find out if you have indeed changed the world.
Yeah.
Final word. Have you got a thought for us to encourage us as we go about our days, something that encourages you that might encourage us?
Yeah, look, I just thinking, I preached last Sunday about Philippians chapter 1. It just says in there, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Yes.
And so I just give that as a word for each of us. You know, don't give up. Keep serving Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. And so let's keep serving.
Beautiful, man. Love it. Thank you so much. Pete Brookshaw.
Thank you, Pete.
Captain Pete Brookshaw from Morley Salvos, all the way over there in WA, which I think is part of Australia again now.
Is it?
I think you've returned.
It's a long way.
The borders are open.
The borders are open. You're allowed there.
Yeah.
So, mate, hey, listen, thank you so much for taking time out. God bless you and your families. We love yous.
Thanks, mate.
We'll see you next time.
Yep.
Producer Simon, thanks for being part of The Elaborators.
Yep.
And to all of you paying attention and listening and playing along, get in touch with us. Let us know what you're liking, what you want next, topics even, and we will see you next time
on The
Elaborators. Okay, obligatory wave, everybody.